Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
In this parable, Jesus portrays these individuals who, at the beginning of a work day, were hired by a landowner for a penny a day. That's what they agreed to. And as the day went on, he went back out and he hired more laborers. He hired some at the third hour, some in the sixth hour, ninth hour, and 11th hour. And then at the end of the day, he paid them all. Now, if you go back and you read the story here in Matthew 20, the only group that were hired at the beginning of the day, there was only one of the groups that was told up front or asked up front, will you do this job for a penny a day? And they agreed to do the job for a penny a day. Every other group after that first group was simply told, hey, I'll do what's right. Will you come to work? And if you can get a picture, if you've ever seen that, particularly in other areas where you'd have a group of men, imagine, gathering up, and they're waiting for someone to come through and pick them up and take them to work. And they're like, hey, you know, somebody stop. I need five good men. Hey, you got two and me. You don't need but three others. So, take me. And so if the day went on and you didn't get hired, then you have to go home and tell your wife, you know, hey, I didn't make nothing. Baby, need a pair of shoes. You know what I'm saying to you? So the men, as the day went on, they were willing to go to work not even knowing what they would make. Like, hey, I just got to have a job. Whatever you pay, I'll take. And so at the end of the day, when the householder tells his steward to pay up all the men that work, he went ahead and said, hey, give everybody a penny. Well, that aggravated the people that had gotten there early because they said, wait a minute, we've worked all day. We've worked longer. We've worked, you know, in this heat. And how are you going to give them a penny when that's what you gave me? And so we see that one of them might have been close in this relationship, because in verse 13, Jesus says, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did thou not agree with me for a penny? So Jesus is saying, how could I have done you wrong when before you ever went to work, you knew what I was going to pay you? And we agreed it would be a penny, and that's what you did. You worked, and I'm paying you. So why have I done you wrong simply because I gave these other men a penny that didn't work as long as you did? Now, let me set this up real good. First of all, know that that's a picture of salvation. That whether you got saved at the age of 14 or 74, salvation is the same. Whether you've been serving the Lord all your life and in church all your life, or you got saved on your deathbed, heaven is going to look the same. Praise God. That's what the big picture there is. Amen? Because sometimes we think we get seniority in the kingdom. There's no seniority in the kingdom. So that's what the parable is about. But just like all the teachings of Jesus, there are so many life lessons in what Jesus teaches. And there's a life lesson here. And the life lesson here is that these individuals had higher expectation than what they were promised. They had higher expectation than what they agreed to. And you may be wondering, what in the world does this have to do with marriage? Let me tell you what it has to do with marriage and any relationship and any friendship or anywhere you've got people involved. If you were to ask me, and I've been pastoring for more than half my life, and at the age of 22, that means I've been doing this since I was 10. But seriously, I've been doing this more than half my life, and not because I have it all, but just based on my experience and having been married and having counseled marriages, if you ask me, Pastor, what do you think the root problem is to marriages? I would say it's the root problem to society, not just marriage, any relationship, our nation, and the world. And the root problem that breaks people apart, whether you're talking about communities, whether you're talking about people separated by class, culture, or whatever, the root of separation is offense. If you want to separate people, all you've got to do is introduce offense. And that is certainly true when it comes to marriage, because there's no greater relationship on the planet than marriage. It is the one that's been implemented by God. It is to reflect the relationship that he has with his church, and there's no greater relationship that exists on the planet than that between a husband and a wife. And there's nothing the enemy wants to do more than to get us offended at one another, and none more than our spouse. Now, offense is rooted in expectation. And I know I said this last week, but I'm going to wrap this part of this series up, Lord willing, today, and we're going to turn the page next week, and we'll talk about that more in a moment. But offense, when you get offended at anybody, there are two types of offended people. There's only two types. It's those that have been done wrong and those that think they have been done wrong. Those that have been done wrong and those that think that they have been done wrong. Now, it is likely in this life at some point you've been done wrong. And it is also likely in this life there's been a time you thought you were done wrong when you really were not done wrong. And if you've been married at any length, there had to come a time when you say, man, I've been wronged, or you at least thought that I've been done wrong. And that offended person who's either been wronged or thinks that they have been wrong, the root to all offense is expectation. When I don't get what I expected, when I don't get what I actually expected to get, I am offended. And we have all these expectations, and many of these expectations we have are not realistic, and there's no human on the planet that could ever fulfill all these expectations. And we've got to come to a place where we know how to manage our marital expectations. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Now, if you are unmarried here today wondering why you showed up at a church teaching on marriage, listen, you can apply this to any area of your life. But if you plan on ever getting married, please take good notes. Because one thing that we learn from this parable is that Jesus is saying, why would you get offended at me when you got exactly what you knew you were going to get? I got to let that absorb. Jesus was saying, why are you offended when you got exactly what you knew you were going to get? Listen, single people. Don't you marry the person you plan on making them into being. Y'all need to meditate on that for a minute. Don't marry who you're going to make them to be. Don't think to yourself, well, you know, I'm going to get him in the gym, and I'm going to change his diet. No, he ain't gonna never be Superman. You have married Pee Wee Herman. You need to get that vision out of your mind. Don't marry who you want to make him to be. And man, you can't build an image in your mind of what she's gonna be and then marry that based on the potential. And somebody say, why are you engaged with her? Man, you just don't know. That woman's got great potential. She's got great potential. No, you're gonna get a penny a day, and you better be ready for the penny. And you look and say, I'm going to marry him because he's got great potential. No. That may be true. He may have great potential. But the day you say I do, you better know what you're saying I do to, because you don't need to come back 3 months from now talking about a penny a day, a penny a day. Look, you knew it was a penny a day when you signed on. You know, and I'm not the advocate of that whole dating thing. Dating's not in the Bible. There's marriage. But I do believe that we are in a position where you need to do some discovery and some investigating and have some conversation before you just walk down the aisle. Because I believe there's some that have this idea. They're going to say, I do. You may kiss the bride, eat the cake, drink the juice, you know, and go off and then heaven open. Oh, everything's great. That'll end in the morning. You got to know that you're gonna wake up one day. You're going to wake up one day, and it's going to be the penny. It'll be the penny right there. The penny that you chose, that's it. That's it. There's your penny right there. Don't marry who you're going to make them to be. Recognize who it is that you've married. And you should know your spouse. I'm not saying you won't ever get more. I'm not saying that there isn't biblical perimeters to what we should be expecting in marriage. We're going to talk about that beginning next week, Lord willing. I want to show you biblically what is the role of a husband. Biblically, what are the needs of a husband? I want to show you biblically what is the role of the wife. Biblically, what are the needs of the wife? So we can be sensitive to that. And next week, don't start saying, ooh, good, Pastor. I got to take notes so I make sure I know what all she needs to be doing. No. We got to focus on what I need to be doing. So we're going to deal with all those things. But we have to begin at the very basics of expectation and learn how to manage marital expectation. It's like after a year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, do you not know what you can expect in this? Am I saying you should never expect more? No. I'm saying recognize what it is you agreed to when you said I do. You need to get all that stuff out. Listen, this may be turning into a premarital message. But you need to get everything out in the open, all that stuff, have some open and honest discussion before you ever say I do. I mean, you might be right now motivated by the way she looks. Do you do know she ain't gonna always look like that? You might need to say, hey, do you plan on always looking like this? And then have her say, oh, yes, I'm very sensitive to this, and I will always look like this. And say, okay, I'm just asking, because I don't know if I need to be expecting something else later on down the line. I don't know that I need to be expecting more of you or less of you. I mean, what's going to come from this? What's your future plans? What are we going to look like? Are we going to always be living in this little shack? What's your vision? What's your potential? But don't forget the agreement for the penny. I'm not trying to compare your spouse to a penny. I'm trying to compare our relationships to this parable right here, that sometimes we get offended for not getting something that never was even promised anyway. And the devil got man into sin because he convinced mankind in the garden that he wasn't getting all that he had the right to expect from God. When Adam and Eve were shown that fruit by the devil, he said, look, if you ate this, you'd be wise. If you ate this, you'd be like God. Oh, this is good for food. Oh, it's pleasant to the sight. Look how God's been holding out on you. You should be expecting more from God. What? He said you couldn't have it all. And that's exactly what the enemy does to us today. He gives us these false pictures of what to expect that come out of Hollywood, that come from down the street, that come from magazines, and this preconceived idea of what life and marriage should look like. And we're forgetting, hey, wait a minute, what did you agree to? Amen. Now, let's come over to 2 Kings chapter 5. And as you turn over there, I want to repeat this. The seed of offense is planted through unfulfilled expectations and develops the root of bitterness and grows the plant that yields grief, sorrow, anger, unforgiveness, jealousy, and vengeance. It is most likely, if you have ever been upset at your spouse, it is because you expected something you didn't get. Can we be real and say amen? Amen? Whether you were justified to expect it or not, we get offended when we expect it. I mean, listen, it's the old basic scenario. You know, I expected you an hour ago. Think how many times that turns into something. I expected you an hour ago. Well, the supper's cold. Well, if it wasn't when I served it. You see what I'm saying to you? Expectation. Once you expect something, whether you had the right to expect it or not, and that expectation is not met, the enemy says, see there? And then their offense sets in. Offense sets in. Watch this. 2 Kings chapter number 5. When you get there, say amen. Now, when offense sets in, and you're offended at someone, particularly your spouse, I want you to see two things in 2 Kings 5. Number one is sometimes our offense is based on, or always based on, expectation. But the second thing I want you to see is that our offense leads to criticism. When you're offended at somebody, they'll never do right. Even what they do right, you'll find wrong with it because you're offended. Now watch this. 2 Kings chapter 5. You're going to see how this relates to marriage here in just a moment. Verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. So this man had leprosy, and that made him a cast out in society. And so he hears, and I'm going to save time in some reading, he hears there's a prophet in Israel named Elisha, and he says, hey, you know, he sent to this man, and they go and tell Elisha that he's coming, that this is an honorable man, and so he's expecting to be healed. So let's go to verse number 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. and thy flesh shall come to thee, and thou shalt be clean. This man's been a cast out of society. He can't go in public because he has leprosy. And now he's just been told all he got to do is go bathe in Jordan, and then he'll be clean. You'd think he'd be ecstatic, right? Like, hallelujah, been waiting on this day all my life. Watch verse 11. But Naaman was wroth. He's angry. And went away and said, behold, I thought. Read that part out loud. Behold, I thought. Ready? Read. Behold, I thought. How many times have we gotten in trouble, particularly in our marriage, because I thought? He said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike the hand over the place and recover the leper. And he said, wait, I thought it would have went like this. I thought it would have went like this. It's not going like I thought it was going to go. This isn't going right. And this man left. Now I want you to watch this and see how this relates to your marriage. Because this man is walking away. He's leaving. He's a leper. He needs this healing. And he could get this healing. But because it's not going the way he wants it to go, he's ready to throw the whole thing in and not get his healing. And there's some of you and some of us that have been in a position where we've let the devil offend us by the way it was going because it wasn't going like we thought it was going. We're going to end up missing our healing. We're going to miss that thing God's getting ready to do all because we're judging it too early by a false idea, by an expectation we had no right to have anyway. Y'all gonna be this way with me. So my wife and I weekly have date night. W-E-E-K-L-Y. If you have W-E-A-K-L-Y date nights, you're gonna have a weak marriage. Most people date and then marry. You should marry to date. Married couples need to say something in here. Y'all let me know y'all not dating. All right? Needs to be a date night. You need to have time where just you and her can get away. And it, no matter how simple it is, you need that for the health of your marriage. And so I love date night. All right? And so and the enemy will always go to work and try to mess up something at the jump. Yeah. How many of you have ever went on a date night and within the first 5-10 minutes, the enemy tried to plant something and mess the whole night up? You ever had that happen to you? Yes, sir. Because the enemy wants to paint the picture. This is not going the way you thought it would. I got home from a date night one day, and you know, when I get home from the office, I like to go take a shower, even if I'm not necessarily dirty. I like washing my day off, because I done been through some stuff during the day, and I just feel like if I'm in the shower, wash all that off. I got to wash that crazy thing off, that thing I heard, you know, all this, wash all that off, and step in like, oh, I'm ready, you know. And so I'm bad about my sin in marriage is that, you know, I'll just think that everything's just supposed to be, you know, smooth. And so I step out. I'm getting ready. It's date night, and I'm taking for granted that this hadn't been done, this hadn't been done, this hadn't been taken care of for the kids, and boom, boom, boom. And in my mind, I'm anxious, like, well, I thought we'd have left by 5. I thought we'd have left at 4:30. I thought we'd have been getting there by 6. Because when I get hungry, I turn into another person. I really do. When I get hungry, my metabolism, you don't feed that beast, it turns into something. And so, you know, I get excited about date night because normally it begins with dinner. And so that means I'm going to get to eat. I'm going to get to be myself again. Like, hey, where you been, girl? You know, and so that's what happens when you feed me. But when things don't go just right at the beginning, I'll find myself getting a little irritated. And then the enemy will try to use that to make me frustrated and irritated and then tell me, oh, date night's not going right tonight. Date night not going right tonight. And I have to remember this story and bring myself back into check and say, wait a minute now. Just because it's not starting the way I thought it would, don't mean it can't end good. Come on, somebody. Don't mess with me in the Lord's house. Woo! Jesus. This man's about to miss his breakthrough because it's not going initially the way he thought it should go. And so he's going to have one of his servants come in verse 13 and speak unto him and said, Father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would thou notest have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Like, man, how simple is that? Go down there and wash yourself and be clean. But see, he wasn't going to do it because he expected it to go another way. And here's the thing, is that when he got offended because it wasn't going the way he thought it would go, watch how critical he got. Watch verse 12. He said, are not a banner or a manna and far rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? He's saying, if you're going to make me take a bath in a river, couldn't you pick a cleaner one? See, he's just getting critical now because he's offended. And so he got home late for the date, because y'all was going to be gone by 8. I'm a poet and you didn't know it. And then now he's a little late, and you're irritated that he got home a little late. Because the number one need of a woman or a wife is to know that I'm your priority. We're going to talk about that next week. Quiet in the house. Okay? So by you getting home late, the devil's telling your wife, you're not priority. If you were priority, she had already been here. You're not priority. That's why he's not here yet. So you finally come in. She don't know. You're just trying to keep, you know, baby with a pair of shoes. You're just doing business. And so now you get home, but she's already in her mind upset because you should have got home a little sooner. And then now she's aggravated, but she ain't said nothing. And then you step out of the closet, and she says, "You wearing that?" It has nothing to do with what you're wearing. In her mind, there's something a little bit further back, and now what you're wearing just becomes criticism that was born out of offense, because I expected we would have left by now. I'd expected you'd have been soon home soon. Y'all see, come on, wake up, somebody. Are y'all understanding the words that are coming out of my mouth? The enemy uses what we expect to generate offense that only brings division. And so finally, when the man does what the prophet tells him, watch what happens in verse 14. Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." And so he tries now to bless the man that he was just talking about. Why? Because he got his breakthrough. He realizes that you can't determine how God is going to work, and don't judge the end from the beginning. See, all the enemy ever has to do to cause disharmony in marriage is to cause you to feel that you aren't receiving what you expected. But he's unfair with his expectations. And we're so selfish so many times, we miss it. Now, are there biblical parameters of what we should be expecting? Yes, and we're going to begin to deal with that next week. But turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to show you something else that Jesus said about this. Luke chapter number 14. And boy, this parable in Luke can just not only be applied to marriage, you can apply this to life, but it's a powerful principle. Luke chapter number 14. And when you get there, say amen. Luke 14. Now, let me reiterate, because some of y'all get nervous. We are going to look at the biblical responsibilities of husbands and wives. We have to know what God's called us to be. Amen. Yes, amen, if this marriage is going to work, if home, our family is going to work, if life is going to work. We have to know that. And this is not this message last week and this week about expectation. This will not undermine that. But I just know how the enemy works in this to bring about offense. And if we're not sensitive to it, we're going to let the enemy keep us in the trap of offense, and we'll never have harmony in our marriage.
If you were to ask me what is the number one problem that's facing marriages today, I would say it is offense. And offense is rooted in unmet expectations. The greater the relationship we have with someone, the higher our expectations are in that person. And it can't be truer when it comes to marriage. You know, God desires to meet our needs through relationships, through people, but that doesn't make individuals the source of our needs. In this series, we're going to talk about the responsibilities of the husband, the wife. We will take the Word of God and define the kingdom husband and the kingdom wife in this series, Kingdom Marriage. I want to encourage you to obtain your copy of this series and bring the kingdom of God into your home and marriage.
Next week on Ministering the Word broadcast.
I wonder how many men or women have been shot down by a spouse and were never given the grace to grow, that we're never given the place to take the higher seat. You know, all because we set a standard that could never be met by anybody. We let the enemy plant those thoughts in our mind. And I'm telling you that we can get so offended with each other that we no longer see the awesome, amazing individual that God placed in our life, the one that you know God put in your life, the one that you know he gave you, and that love that was there can be there today. And in the name of Jesus, I'm praying that this series break the yoke of offense and bring us to a place of wholeness and health and restoration so that our marriages can begin to glorify God. Are there things we need to be sensitive to when it comes to each other? Yes. Are there expectations that we need to learn how to meet? Yes. Do women need to better understand men? Ha! Yes. Do men need to better understand women? You better know we do. And there's answers in the Word of God. There are answers. And if we'll open this Word and let it be a manual, it will resolve this whole marital expectation. It'll teach us how to manage marital expectation and bring wholeness to our lives. And that's what I'm praying will be accomplished in this series.
As always, I want to thank you for allowing me into your viewing area today. I trust that you were blessed by the ministry of God's Word. You know, in Genesis chapter 12, God made a covenant that He would bless us until all families of the earth are blessed. And that is our heart's desire, to take this Word to bless the families of the earth. If you have been blessed through this program, I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry in preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God. As a partner of this ministry, you will receive monthly letters from me, including resources that will absolutely build your faith and knowledge in the Word of God. For more information, visit partner.wogm.com.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.